as you can see, as a church family, we are trying to do some things to kind of keep everybody engaged for a little while until we can kind of go back to a little more normal and children's classes. And I anticipate, we've talked a lot about this, that we're going to kind of meet like this and then maybe even a little longer into July. Probably kid classes starting in July, unless there's recommendations that say you really shouldn't do that. And so we can kind of anticipate having a friendly moment with our Emily's every week, and hopefully keeping our kids engaged. We want everyone who comes to the building to feel comfortable being here and to engage in what's going on. That's all the kids. We want kids in the room if you're comfortable being here. So if you're at home today, this is going to be kind of our the way we're going to go for the next few weeks, and then we'll kind of make some changes moving forward. Have you ever known an instigator? Kind of like Will, you know, over here. The impossible task with the string gets done somehow. He instigates something. No. Someone who likes to get things sort of stirred up, right? Does anybody know an instigator? Don't point. Just raise your hand, right? Don't point. Growing up, I was sort of that guy. I was kind of an instigator. If we were playing football, I was in somebody's face barking at them like a bulldog. We were actually the Bulldogs, my hometown. And so I was kind of an instigator that way. If we were playing basketball, then I was talking junk to the opposing team the entire time. It made me feel really good when I watched the special about the Bulls and Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan was a smack talker. And so I feel like I was more like the greatest of all time in that way. That was the only way, but I was a world-class instigator and smack talker. But as I've gotten older, I don't enjoy confrontation as much. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Matthew chapter 5, we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, week by week, taking a beatitude and seeing how that applies to our lives. And it's been pretty amazing to see. I have not had to prepare a message for a specific topic because God's got it covered. And it seems like every week we come together, one of the Beatitudes hits it home for us. And I hope that today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, will hit home with many of us. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God or children of God." I want to start with the end of that statement. Jesus says, that we will be called children of God. To be called a son of God in Jesus' day conjures up some things that we may not think about. To be called the sons of God is not merely a statement of relationship, but it's a statement of character. In Jesus' day, if you called someone the son of a dog, it meant that they had or they acted like a dog. It wasn't a good thing to say. It wasn't a compliment. To say they were the son of the devil would mean they were devilish, right? But to say that they were the son of God meant that they acted the way God would act. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Unlike the devil, who's an instigator, God is a peacemaker. Remember how the devil tried to instigate trouble for Jesus, the temptation of Jesus? I want to read this from just one chapter before, if you have your Bible or your Bible app open. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Probably the greatest understatement in the Bible, right? "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you're the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the devil tries to instigate something with Jesus. And Jesus just quotes scripture to him. You see, if the devil had been able to lure Jesus into temptation, then he would not have been the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But Jesus did not allow that to happen. The devil tried to tempt Jesus by offering him the things of this world, right? Food or power or prestige. He appealed to Jesus' humanness, his flesh. Now, that's still a tactic of the devil to draw us into worldliness or into the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You want peace in your life? Right? You want to be take on the characteristic of God? Then you have to say no to the flesh. Because the flesh will take you into divisiveness, right? When we're divisive and allow ourselves to be drawn into the flesh, we're more like the enemy than we are like God. Paul says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul goes on to say, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. The devil comes to Jesus, tries to lure him into his humanness to sin against God's will and God's way, and Jesus says, get away from me. See, if we want to be more and more like God, we have to be less divisive, and we have to be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. God is a peacemaker. Think about it in some different ways. God brings things together, not pulls them apart. Right? He reconciled mankind back to himself. When we were in our sins and separated from God because of our own sin, God sent Jesus to bring us back to himself. With the Jews and the Gentiles. Right? God's not hung up on our differences. The gospel is for everyone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Not just certain people group or a certain race or a certain class of people or a certain country of people. For God so loved the world. That's how we need to see people. God's a peacemaker, not divisive, but he brings things together. Think about men and women. Right? God broke down the gender barriers that existed in the ancient world. Paul said this about becoming a Christian. So in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. God is in the business of bringing things together. He's in the business of mending relationships and bringing peace. And I believe that we are to do things that bring peace in this world, in our lives, in our community, and wherever we go. Matter of fact, I would say it even stronger than that because I think Scripture says it stronger. I think it has a bearing on where we will end up in eternity. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See, God's nature is holiness and peace. So we're to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. There is this connection with peace and holiness, God's true nature, right? And the end result is without holiness, without working for peace, no one will see the Lord. So how are we going to do this? Let's be very practical. What steps can we take to become peacemakers? I think James gives us an outline. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, I got to be honest, I'm still pretty quick to speak, right? I would even say that's my spiritual gift, right? I'm good at being quick to speak. I'm not so good at what James says is to be quick to listen, right? Listen first, be quick to listen, not speak. The preacher that I work with in Virginia Beach sometimes frustrated me. This was just before we came to New Bern. I was 35-ish when I went there, so I wasn't exactly, you know, like an impetuous young buck right out of college, but I still at times was impatient. So if we're in a meeting or there was some issue with someone in the church, his natural response was kind of nothing. I even characterized him. I told Bonnie, Mr. Jimmy, he's just a passive leader. You see, I wanted him to speak up. I wanted him to say what he thought to squelch the naysayer. And then we moved to New Bern and I became a lead minister. And guess what I realized pretty quick? Sometimes the best thing I can do is listen and do nothing. See, my mentor in Virginia Beach wasn't as passive as I thought. He was a peacemaker. He was quick to listen. He was very good, and he taught me that it was okay to listen. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. So I'm going to give you something very practical to do. You don't have to be in an argument, though this would be a great thing to do if you were at odds with somebody, but just maybe this afternoon in a conversation with somebody in your family or someone at work this week. The next time you're in a conversation, I want you to think this way. I want you to think, I'm not going to use any personal pronouns about myself, like I or me or mine. Have a whole conversation with someone, spouses, where it's all about the other person. How do you feel? What did you do in this situation? Right? Have a whole conversation and maybe make that your habit, because you know what happens when you do that? You become good at listening. And you become good at being interested, because the conversation goes nowhere if you don't keep it going by asking about the other person or allowing them to give their point of view. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. The second thing he says is, you got to speak second. That's not our go-to. That's not the first thing that we do. We need to be quick to listen, but before we open our mouths to respond, we also need to put on the brakes, right? We need to speak second. Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Do I need to read that again? Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. My dad was a great example of this idea of being slow to speak and being quick to listen. His natural way, he was sort of methodical in nature. You would not want to play chess with him. Like, it would take 4 days to play chess. He just thought about things and he kind of mulled them over. Actually, any game would take forever. You know, go fish, dad, go fish. You know, like, come on, he's thinking through every move. You know, that was kind of his nature. He was sort of methodical. And so his natural way to express himself was with thought first and listening. In a meeting or even in a disagreement, he was not the first to speak. He listened and he thought about what he wanted to say before he spoke. You know what it says about yourself if you're always first to speak and second to listen? It says you think a little more highly of yourself and your ideas and your opinions than you do of anyone else. To be honest, that attitude is the exact opposite of who God has called us to be. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. See, we can avoid a lot of conflict in our lives if we live in humility, if we're quick to listen and slow to speak. And finally, James says, so our outline is what? Listen first, speak second, and then don't become angry. Be slow to become angry. I worked with a guy one time who was a hothead. Anybody know any hotheads? Okay, don't point again. Again, no pointing. And this was when I was not working for a church. I was working at a church part-time and working for a local swimming pool company. And one of the guys in the maintenance who ran kind of the maintenance department, he was just a hothead. If there was a disagreement, it didn't even have to be that much of a disagreement. But he would go from 0 to 90 in no time flat. You know what I mean? He would get loud. He would get animated. He would turn red. Have you ever heard the expression spitting mad? Sometimes he would be spitting, you know, as he's speaking. You're like, good night. Back off, guy. Say it, right? That's who this guy was. He always went straight to spitting mad. And if you tried to argue with him, you know what he would do? He would just simply get louder and talk over you. Right? And those are no fun. Right? Those kind of conversations are no fun. I often thought about this guy. This guy is not going to live very long. He's going to have a heart attack. Like, he is always like right there boiling. He would get that mad. And the first couple times when I didn't know him, I'd be like, wow, it kind of gets your attention, right? You're like, wow, this guy's fired up about this. And then after the 50th time, you're like, here we go again. Like, I just go get a honey bun, come back. He's still going off on somebody. He'd get all riled up, and I'd just come back when he was finished. James says, be slow to become angry. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, later in Matthew chapter 5. You heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Right? The nature of who God is as a peacemaker is not one who gets angry quickly, not one who looks for retribution. It's fair, right? If someone hurts you, to hurt them back. But that's not at the heart of God. Don't fly off the handle. Don't say things you can't get back. Don't act in a way that doesn't represent who you are as a Christian. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's who we're to be as Christians in this world. Maybe this is something you need to work on in your marriage, maybe as a parent, maybe at your workplace, maybe on social media. Here's the question: are you a peacemaker? Being an agent of peace doesn't mean compromising our stand for Jesus, but it might include things like listening carefully, speaking softly, setting aside personal desires, not retaliating when wrong, apologizing for an offense, smiling when things get heated, putting others first. When we're peacemakers, people will recognize our affinity, who we are, as it matches the character of God. Jesus' whole purpose here on earth was to bring peace, to bridge the gap between us and God and bring us back into a good relationship with the Father. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and following. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commandments and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. See, Jesus' whole purpose was to bring peace between us and God, and then for us then to live out that character before others. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening at home or wherever you are, and you don't have peace with God. See, becoming a peacemaker starts with having peace with God, being reconciled back to God. See, God is in the business of making peace, and the offer is open to everyone, because God loves everyone. Again, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. If you'd like to make a decision today, I'm going to be here after service. I'm going to be available online. You can put a comment in the Facebook, hey, I'd like Dave to call me, or reach out to me on Facebook or through email. You can always email me at david@tworiverschurch.com. There's no greater decision that you can make than this, to have this gap, right, this chasm between yourself and God closed because of the blood of Jesus, because of peace. See, in our own, when we're in our sins, then we're kind of in at odds with God, because God as a holy God cannot have that kind of relationship with us when we have sin. So Jesus came to bridge that gap. I'd love to talk to you about that today. Maybe some of us who've given our hearts to Christ, who've been baptized into Christ, maybe we just need to simply ask God to forgive us when we're not quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. In just a minute, Daisha is going to lead us into a time of communion, but just before she comes, I'd like to pray with us today. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today. We thank you for not only the Bible being our guidebook, but also being our playbook out of how to live this life. And Lord, we just thank you that that we can come into your presence because of Jesus. We can be brought back to you because of the peace he offers, the reconciliation, the making of a good relationship again with you, God, because of his death on the cross. So, Lord, I just pray that you help us to sort of lean in on that today, that you would be our God, and that we would follow you, and that we would live like you as peacemakers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.